I just want to welcome everyone here tonight. This is our Wednesday night service, or actually roundtable discussion, and I'm here with Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim, and we are going to tap into something that we have been speaking about, and we've been sharing with everyone about how we feel that God is doing something new in this, I would say, millennium, or this age that we're approaching. And, you know, it's very important to hear what God is saying in this hour. And, you know, there's one part of me that is very excited, and then there's another part of me that is kind of distraught and bothered and upset, because God is basically telling us to put down that old wineskin and the old wine, and begin to clothe us with the new wine and the new wineskin. And it has a lot to do with the doctrines of religion. It's the messages that everyone has been embraced by, and unfortunately it is actually laying on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or the Prophet of God, or however anybody ever wants to label him. And in a lot of the ministries that are out there, God is calling us to a new way of the wind is blowing. And we really have to have ears to hear what is happening, because there is a new generation that is coming up. And we need to pass this torch over to bring them into salvation, to bring them into the truth of God. And he says in the last days that the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And God is saying it's time now for us to rise up. It's time for us to rise up and begin to worship him, and him only, in spirit and in truth. And, you know, I find it very interesting how the world is really becoming unified. And it's at the time where God is saying now we have to put away segregate countries and nations. Yeah. Before, it was a need for these prophets. It was a need for the people of God to hear and follow, and I guess lay their hopes and trust on them and stuff like that. In that geological or location, geographical location. Like the Asians needed the Buddhist, and the Muslims needed the
Muhammad,
and the
Christians needed Jesus.
Yeah,
and Moses was it the Jews?
Uh huh. And now, because of the age that we're living in a new time, and the world is being unified, and God is saying, okay, now it's time to put down the ninny. And start drinking some good milk, and solid food, and begin to embrace God himself. And this message has been going on since Jesus Christ has been there, but the ears and the eyes haven't been opened up. And for us, we're a forerunner, I believe, in this movement, because we're the ones that are speaking this, and everybody else is shunning from it. And I know I'm listening to some other people through the I guess the Christian line or what have you, and they have parts of it. They all these prophets are speaking about a new wind is coming and something's happening, God's moving, and they've just not been able to pinpoint it. And we're like, it's this. Hello, it's this. I think they're afraid. I think that sincerely, they in their heart know that they need to move on from the worships of the prophets and the worships of these things, and to accept God themselves. But I don't think they're jeopardizing their future. They're jeopardizing their career.
To come under persecution because of the people that have a lack of knowledge and understanding are the ones that are going to persecute and say it's wrong. It's unjustified, and you have to follow your heart. I mean, it says, why fear man when we should fear God? Because God's the one that can save your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we fear man and what man thinks about it? Man's not going to save us. Mm-hmm. You know, only the Father can save, and that's through his grace, which is his revelation and knowledge, you know.
You know, I'm seeing this, like, as you were talking, I'm just seeing this vision. And there has been people who broke away from their traditional religions. Let's take the Catholics. And when the charismatic movement happened into the Catholic Church, right? And they did away with the worshiping of Mary and the priests and all. They broke away, and then they got charismatic, and they started, you know, going into that direction
Martin
of whatever.
Luther broke away from the Catholic Church as well.
Yeah.
And he says in one of his sayings, he said he never really wanted to start a move. He wanted the purity of God. You know, he never intended it to
That's
become like a Lutheran religion. He wanted it to be pure worship of God.
That's interesting. If you remember, going back when this ministry was started, when we were birthed, we were saying how God is going to bring us into a new movement. It's just like Martin Luther King, almost exactly like Martin Luther King. Not knowing today.
Martin Luther.
I stand corrected, not Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther.
It's Martin Luther. You know, what can I say? I was birthed in the realm of glory. I didn't say I was ever a scholar, but it's all good because you can see the simplicity and the sincerity of us. You know, our heart means, you know, business here. And
it does.
And so, not knowing, I mean, we're almost 20 years in ministry now. And not knowing back then, God was calling us to a new movement, not knowing exactly what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Now we know that it's basically forsaking the old traditions of, you know, Jesus and Christ, and Jesus Christ, I would say, because we always knew it was Christ, the divine nature, the seed that's inside of everyone. Everybody around the world, whether they're from the Western or from, you know, the East, the West, South, whatever, they all have a seed of God in them, the divine nature of God in them. Everybody does. And I don't care who you are. You have it. And this movement is just an awakening of you being able to understand that you have it. You have it inside you.
You know, religion basically took the seed of Christ and made it one person. They said, Jesus is Christ, the only one that is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And God's saying, no, I made everyone with the seed of Christ in them. It wasn't made for just Jesus Christ. It's for everybody that has Christ.
And that's a good point that you brought up, because everybody is trying to convert everybody over to Christianity, when the reality of it is we don't have to convert nobody over to anything.
No.
You know, you want to be a Jew, you want to be a Muslim, you want to, that's fine. You want to be a Buddhist, that's fine.
Just acknowledge you have a divine nature.
Exactly right. Wake up. Yeah. Wake up. I remember not too many weeks ago, I had this in my spirit. Wake up, sleeping giant. Wake up. Wake up, sleeping giant. Now I understand why I was going around saying that in my heart. Wake up, sleeping giant, because basically that's what it is. The whole world needs to wake up and realize that they have this light inside of them, that divine nature, which we call Christ. I mean, if you want to give it another name, that's fine. We'll just call it the light. And you got this light inside of you, which is a seed of God. And he planted that in us, and it's for us to be able to water it with the truth so that we become immortal, right? Immortal, and become into that divine nature and become spirit and shed off the carnal, shed off the nature of flesh, shed off. And that has a lot to do with the way we're thinking, because we are born into a carnal, natural mind, not really focusing on the things that we can't see, but focusing on the things that we can see. And God is saying, I want a people that will rise up and focus on the things that they can't see, even though that they can see, but they see it through spiritual eyes, not through carnal eyes.
That's it. You just made the point where you said spirit. And God is a spirit.
Yep.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And The world doesn't really understand what that is, but you have spirit in you. Everyone has spirit in you. You just don't recognize it. Your spirit is all the time trying to speak to you, all the time trying to activate your mind, all the time trying to move in you. And we reason, and we allow depression to come in, and we quiet down, or we stifle the spirit. And God is a spirit. And what we do here is we teach you how to understand the spirit realm. We teach you the truths and the mysteries of the spirit. And that's what it's all about, because the world will teach you the world ways, and we follow them because we don't know any better. But here we teach you the spirit ways, and that's what we do different.
Well, all of mankind is crying out for the spirit.
Absolutely.
Let's just take hope. Hope is a form of the spirit. It's the will of God inside of all of us that is directing us to a future or a purpose. And they're embracing it, but they get lost. They reason within their own mind, and they can't take hope, and they take it as like some kind of wish. And it's not a wish. It's actually life.
Correct.
It's real life inside of them.
It's the divine nature. It's Christ.
Exactly right. It's the part of God.
Yes.
I think what we're doing is we're fulfilling, you know, we're not destroying anything. We're actually fulfilling life inside of individuals.
Absolutely.
Because it's taking religion completely out. It's almost like religion is no longer existence. And it's bringing in life into people. It's bringing life. It's allowing what their feelings are and their hopes are. And it's birthing it and letting them literally say what you're feeling and what you're seeing and what you're sensing is real.
Correct.
Is real.
And right.
And you have its inheritance, and it's really meant for yours. So keep desiring it. Keep wanting it. And eventually, God will open up those doors for you to be able to fulfill your hopes. You know, I read a scripture, I think it was in 2 Peter something, and I'll just finish this real quick. But it spoke about don't get weary in your hopes, because God has a plan for you, but he's teaching you something, and we just need patience to rest it and wait on it so that we can actually come to a place of not being destroyed, but coming to a place to repent.
Yeah.
And that repentance means not to say I'm sorry as if we did anything wrong, but obviously we're thinking our pattern of thought is not correct. And if our pattern of thought keeps coming the way it's coming into the natural realm of reasoning, then it would lead us to destruction.
Correct.
It would set us off the wrong path, and we may lose or something, you know, of some sort or another. You know, but God is saying that to us, you know, just be patient, and I'll bring your hopes to pass. What you need to do is just stop reasoning and, you know, stop, you know, thinking on your own, and just, you know, let your mind clear out and rest on God. I started posting some things on Facebook, and if you don't have our Facebook, you can find us on our Facebook. But I was posting some things under my Facebook, and it was basically saying about having that place of rest and that hope. And
you know, I just wanted to say something. You know, God the Father calls his Son Christ, the divine nature, and he says it's begotten Son. You know, when you read that in John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, he's talking about that divine nature, that hope that's within every single individual. And you can only come to the Father through the divine nature, through the Christ.
Yeah, through that light.
Through that light.
I'd like to actually change the way we're communicating with the world out here, because every time we bring up Christ, we're bringing up the Christianity religion.
Right.
It's almost like I want to just start calling it the light, you know?
Well, the word beget, or begot, basically means to give rise to and bring about. So when you actually receive it with a realization or revelation that comes through grace and receive that seed, you actually start to rise up. You're giving rise to God's glory, that seed that's within you, and it starts to take hold and become life in you. That's the only way you can have eternal life.
That
doesn't come through any other method or any other means.
Well, that's the gospel.
That's the truth right there.
That's the gospel. The gospel is the unquestionable truth. And when we can bring the world to understand that they have this light, and then they can embrace it through faith and just start thanking God. You know, we have to bring worship to God. And the only way that we can figure worshiping God, for those who have no clue whatsoever, you know, these are people out there that are trying to figure us out. And they want to know God, okay? And then when we say, you know, worship God, they don't know how to worship. So
yeah.
I want to say to them that you just trust. You know, you just trust and keep hoping in the higher power of God, our Creator. And that in itself is worship.
Yeah.
And when you put honor and glory to the Creator, you are now worshiping the true living God. That worship in itself will bring you to a place of renewal. That worship, or giving trust and recognizing the glory of our Creator, yes, that light rises up,
yes,
and you're actually watering it and nurturing it. Yep. So worship to and recognizing our Creator is water and nurture to the light.
Correct.
And as you continue to recognize God and His magnitude and His glory and His majestic awe of being the Creator of the heavens and the earth, as you do that, Christ is, or the light, is rising up,
yep,
and renewing you. You're becoming in the divine nature just by doing that in itself. There is no form of religion here. It's all just pure truth, if you think about it.
It says you're actually coming into existence. So you don't exist until this happens.
Well, in the reality is we're dead.
We're dead, correct.
We are dead.
And it's a reproduction because it's becoming life and it's birthing a child within you.
Yes, and what makes it so difficult for, you know, an unbeliever or someone who has never come into this realm before, they look at you and say, what do you mean you're dead? I'm not dead. I'm alive.
In the carnal sense, you're alive. But in the spiritual sense, in a relationship with God, we're dead.
Yeah, we're dead.
Until we come into this.
And the reason why we're labeled as dead is because we have no life.
Right.
We have no purpose. We have no goal, no dream. Now, some people will say, well, I have a goal. I have this. You have a portion of it. You see what I'm saying? You really have no life. You have no confidence in that realm of assurity that you know that things are going to go the way they're supposed to go, and you just have to sit back and relax because
there's no acceptance.
Well, when you come to that life,
yeah,
all you can do is thank God.
Yep.
All you can do is give Him glory and praise. And this is why it's so important for the people out there and everyone else to listen, in the fact that to worship our Creator is so important because that's the beginning of life. And then when you do establish that character and you acknowledge Him in everything that you're doing, all of a sudden your dreams and hopes start manifesting. You know, what you thought you were going to do, you're not doing, and now you have the new life. The old life is what you thought you were going to create.
And you start to trust it, and you give way to the Spirit guiding you and leading you through life, and it becomes an eternal life.
It's like you said, you're awakened.
You're awakened.
Yeah, this you is become true. Alive. This Correct. Is true resurrectional power. That's why when we spoke about on Sunday that we're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of salvation. It's Correct. The power of life. And when we can come into that place of worship and not worship the creatures that are created, but worship the Creator Himself.
Correct.
And this is where we have to work on, I guess, the churches out there. You know, we have to begin to bring this truth to them to say, listen, you cannot no longer worship the creature of creation.
Right.
You have to worship the Creator and the one who creates all. And when you begin to do this, that life within inside of us will be birthed. And it's becoming born again. It's literally becoming born again. And it, excuse me, it's a resurrectional power. This power, see, when you live in a carnal nature, you have because this is what we are brought up. You know, have a hope or have a desire, have a dream. But you have to realize that we have a nature of lust, mm-hmm. you know, and we might call it flesh or sin or whatever, but we desire the things of the world, and we're driven by a lot of things through patterns and yep. traditions.
True.
And when that life within inside of us begins to rise up, what we thought we wanted to do no longer becomes that, and that taste leaves, and then there's a new taste of hope. All of a sudden you have something else that you want to do. You know, I'm not saying that everybody becomes a pastor or whatever, and everybody goes leaves and travels the world to feed the poor or what have you, but there's a new life that comes with inside of you, and that new life begins to manifest. Now, you might have it from a young age. You might have an inkling of what you wanted to do, and that still stays with you because of the being so young, you know, and, you know, it's innocent. So it's almost like a divine spirit to begin with. Children are, at a young age, are very divine, I look at it, until they grow up to a certain age, and then the world encamps, and then
beats them up.
Yeah. And then, so you might have a taste of that hope, but you never realize the direction, because God says that I will do far above what you can comprehend or even imagine. So we can't even, like in the old nature, before this light actually becomes born against, and this light actually rises up through giving honor and praise to our Creator, we can't comprehend. Our mind can't even fathom what He has in store. And He does have plans. He has a purpose and a plan for us and everything else. So the world needs to understand that when we were created by our Creator, He set a plan in place. So you got a plan, I got a plan, you have a plan.
Everybody
else out there has a plan.
Well, that was put since the foundations of the heavens. Before we even came here, He put that seed in us and then sent us down.
And yep. And the whole world knows there's something else out there. Everybody sits there in their normal everyday life and says, there's got to be something else.
Exactly.
I know there's
right.
something else. I know yep. there's something else. See, before you're awakened, you're moving yourself. By desires, by thinking, by moving yourself. But when you become awakened, you start getting moved. Another force called God starts moving you and opening every door and closing every door and moving you every day. And you just sit back and you just relax. Yep. And then you just start worshiping, like Pastor said, worshiping and praising. And the more you worship and praise, the more you can sit back and let God move. And that's what He wants us to relax. He wants us to stop living in our own strength, stop moving, stop killing ourselves, you know, and relax, you know.
We're going to break, just for our listeners out here, right here alone, we're going to break down that worship and praise. We're going to break it down to acknowledging. I really want this generation that is rising up to grab hold of what we're saying. Yep. And let them begin to start acknowledging a majestic Creator, an all in our Creator, so that they can come to this worship and become into this praise. Because I really don't think that they understand. I really don't. And
I think they understand the word God. They just don't know who God is or what God is. So that's what we have to do, to tell them who or what God is.
And it's by faith. So for, you know, nobody can see Him. Nobody can know
no.
Him.
But they all know a God. They all know the word God. Yeah. Everybody knows the word God.
Yep.
But they just don't know who God is. They all have their own version of God. But there really is only one God.
Yeah.
And it's the God of love. You know?
And the same time, how do you address this God? Worship and praise. A lot of people take worship and praises like singing songs and stuff like that.
Worship is an adoration. It's an honor that you esteem to God.
And you
stop doing the things that you normally do through reasoning and following lustful desires. It's kind of saying, okay, God, I'm gonna let you move me through life.
An acknowledgement.
An obedience.
It's an acknowledgement of
a higher power.
Yes. Yep.
Higher exactly. than yourself.
Yes.
Correct.
And when you
that's through faith too.
And you have to recognize that. Yep. So it's almost like this. You're gonna make a decision. Okay? We're all alone.
Yep.
And you have to make a decision. So you acknowledge the higher power. You acknowledge our creator. Okay, God, listen, I got to make a decision, and I don't know which way to go. All of a sudden, God will answer you. He won't come in with an audible voice.
Peace.
You got to go this way, Jim.
He may. You never know. Yeah.
Well, he may. But we'll just take it like maybe the most common ones. There's an impression.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel? Leading. I feel like I got to make a left. I really feel like I got to make a left. Then you make the left, and you obey that. You lay yourself down
yes.
to it.
Yes.
Now you're coming into worship.
Correct.
Yes. Now you're coming into praise.
It's kind of like that thinking of there's something better for me out there. Something more. That's the voice you got to listen to. That's the voice of God saying there is something better for you. There's something greater for you out there. Then start listening to that voice instead of saying, oh, this is what the way it's going to be and that's it. But God's trying to say, listen, there's more for you out there. He's leading you into an awareness that there is more. And then just try to adopt that voice and feed that thought. You know, you can get out of your patterns.
You know, mm-hmm. God the Father basically doesn't want us to try and figure out things. He's just saying, here, trust me.
Rest.
Rest. Acknowledge me. And I'll move you. And that's where we start to develop that worship, because it's an honor. It's a glorification to him and saying, okay, God, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm laying my will down.
Yep.
Now I'm taking on your will.
Exactly
his
right.
will is moving me to do something or whatever have you.
Exactly do. Right. And then in that, we begin to trust him.
Yep.
And we begin to exalt him.
Yep.
And this is where we become spirit and in truth.
Right.
Because the truth is going to begin to spark you in what direction you need to go into. Yep. And with that, listen, there might be times where you're going to come up and you're not going to get an answer with inside of you. Well, there's nothing wrong with getting a witness.
Correct.
You know, God, if you really sincerely want an answer from God, you can simply lay this one out. Give me a witness, Lord. I mean, Gideon did it with the fleece, right?
Yeah,
hey,
twice.
Yeah, he said, rain everywhere else but on the fleece. And it rained everywhere else but on the fleece. And then he says, okay,
rain just on the fleece, but nothing dry everywhere else.
Right, exactly right. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting witnesses. Right. And, you know, I always go and find somebody who has no idea what's going on, and I'll ask them a quick question. And sometimes I don't like their answer, so I'll go get another one, you know. And then if I get two answers that are the same, I better humble myself and go to that answer, you know.
That's a huge key right there, humbling yourself.
Yep.
This gospel cannot be accomplished without humbling yourself.
Yeah, humility is big.
And acknowledging a God and giving him credit for what he's doing in your life.
Yeah.
Thanking him for five fingers on each hand that worked. Thanking him that you can see clearly. Thanking him that you can hear clearly. Starting with the small things, you know, starting a relationship of thanking God for things that you can't control. You know, thank God for things that he's given you and acknowledging that. That's how you start a relationship.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because not only do we have to come to that worship where we acknowledge our creator, we trust him and follow him, but thankfulness is part of the power of the gospel. You have to be thankful in everything.
You have to be.
And if you're not thankful, you're depleting.
Correct.
You're depleting the spirit. You're actually, I believe this is the unpardonable sin about grieving the Holy Spirit. When you aren't thankful, you know, God is doing something, and it's almost saying you don't like what he's doing.
Exactly.
Right.
And now you're putting him back off, you're taking him back off the throne, and the spirit of God is like grieving.
Right.
So we have to be very grateful in everything that is happening in our life. Correct. As we develop worshiping God. And I hope and pray that our listeners really grab hold of this gospel message that we're speaking, because it may seem simple, but there's so much power in what we've just talked about within this short half hour that we're talking, that will change your life forever.
Absolutely.
Now, the problem that we will run across, because I know, because I was there and everybody else was there, is you're going to end up losing patience.
Yep.
And you're going to think that, you know, he's not moving fast enough, yep, or you're not getting your answers quick enough.
You don't like the avenue he's taking you down.
Whatever it is, resist the murmuring and the complaining and just start throwing it up in the air, right, and saying, interesting, this is very interesting, but you know what? I'm going to continue to glorify you. I'm going to continue to thank you. I'm going to continue to exalt you. I'm going to continue to have you lead my footsteps. And I guarantee you're going to find out that that light inside of you is going to rise up more and more and more and more. To be honest with you, I don't think there are many out there that have a light that is shining bright.
No.
Because they fall short of the glory. Yeah. They're falling short of the glory, and we're bringing people into the realm of glory. And the realm of the glory, the pathway to glory, is this worship, is this coming into spirit and in truth and glorifying our Creator to this magnitude and then being grateful in all things.
You know, when you said waiting patiently, you know, we're waiting on a witness. You have to wait patiently because sometimes that answer, that move won't come. But God wants us to wait on Him. And when we wait on Him patiently, that's obedience. That's giving Him honor and glorifying Him because we're allowing Him to be God and not us. And because of that, you know, the sons of disobedience are the ones that move through anxiousness. You know, He says, don't be anxious for anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and because they're not getting an answer and what they want, they start to get anxiety and mm-hmm. worry, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden they're starting to move out of their own reasoning and their own thinking. And guess what? There's a penalty for that. You know, God allows these things to, you know, He'll give you the desires of your heart. So if you're acting out in anxiety and worry and fear, and you're moving that direction, He'll allow those circumstances to come up and arise. Mm-hmm. But then there's going to be a penalty with that. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you go back into the, we use the scriptures, we don't have it here tonight, but you see many a times like Saul was a king and he moved ahead of God and God was pissed with him. And basically he penalized Saul for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's saying, okay, you know what? You're not going to be the one to build my house, you know, mm-hmm. because you're disobedient. You're moving out of anxiousness and fear and what other people think, you know, instead of waiting on me mm-hmm. and waiting for that move of my spirit to lead mm-hmm. you. You know, that's the true worshipers right there. It's that waiting on Him and you're trusting Him, and all of a sudden He starts to move you gently. You know, He tugs at your heartstrings, you know.
You know, Pastor Tim, you are hitting a good nerve, because waiting and accepting today is probably the most difficult thing that anybody can do. It is very, very hard. And I want to have some compassion and some mercy on our listeners out there, because, you know, it's not an easy thing to wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. But if you wait on Him, He'll mount you up with wings like an eagle, you know. There's a thing that says that he who overcomes, I will grant him a seat right next to me. And I believe this overcoming is bringing yourself into a submission of pure worship, pure praise.
Yeah.
God, you know what? You know my heart towards you. I don't understand everything about you. I don't understand what your ways, but your ways are much higher and greater than my ways, you know. And you come to that broken place where you say, look, God, you know the desire of my heart. You know what I want. You know what I long for. And all I can do is just kind of stop reasoning and getting frustrated and thank you in all things, and just keep on thanking, because if I can continue to keep thanking, I know that the doors will open up.
You're strengthening the light inside of you.
Yes. And He says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto you. So opportunity is just going to come your way. And my heart gets ripped out because I see a lot of people suffering and being so lost because they just don't know what to do with their life. They don't know where to go. They don't know what direction to take. They have a hope, but they don't have any light at the end of the tunnel. They don't see any opportunity coming. And it's because they're all caught up reasoning in their whole mind, and they're trying to create their future when God is the creator of our future, and we don't know how he's going to open it up. But
can't figure it out.
But at the same time, expressing that worship to our creator, he'll begin to say, well done, my faithful servant. I'm going to now begin to open up doors that no man can shut. And watch the opportunities that I give you just explode.
And then, let me say this real quick. What we're talking about is an awareness of what's already inside of you. That light Pastor was talking about. And you know, with that awareness, there's an awakening that happens inside of you. And that spirit or that light, it has gifts. And the gifts that he gives, when you awaken this spirit inside of you, it starts giving you peace. Starts giving you joy. And some of the fruits that it's going to give you is this: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As soon as you realize that you have this light inside you, this Christ inside you, these gifts come with you. These gifts start manifesting inside of you. And the things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. The things that used to irritate don't irritate you. And you have these gifts inside that God gives you as you worship him, as you praise him, as you're grateful to him. These gifts are just growing and growing and growing. And they're building that light inside of you, or that spirit becomes stronger, and that light becomes stronger, and the gifts become stronger.
Empowers you.
Empowers you.
It empowers you, and it empowers the future.
Correct.
Yeah. Our listeners need to understand that there's a dark world out there. And that dark world is literally out to destroy your future. It's literally destroying. That dark world has rights, and it feeds off of murmuring and complaining.
Yeah.
It feeds off of fear and worry. It feeds off of anxiety. It feeds off of impatientness. It feeds.
That's their fruits of that. There's fruits
exactly
of
right. And it feeds and it empowers them.
Yep, you're right.
It empowers them to destroy their life. If people would understand that realm and they stop feeding the dark realm,
starve it
to have power, and start starving it through the power of light,
that's right.
That power of light will manifest peace and joy. That is no fruit that darkness eats. And because darkness can't eat that, they starve and they flee.
It says if you resist the darkness or the enemy, the darkness has to flee.
It has to flee.
That's your whole job is to resist it.
Yep.
If you can resist it and then apply the fruits, like long suffering, self-control, they are the fruits of the Spirit. And if you resist the darkness of fear, worry, anxiety, all those things, they have to flee. They can't stay.
And that's why they call it fruits of the Spirit, because they refer to food.
Yep.
And, you know, our listeners need to stop being so carnally minded and think that, you know, maybe they did something wrong. They got not get their opportunities.
Just feeding the wrong.
Exactly right.
You know, God is a spirit, and God's spirit of wisdom is always hovering, but it's only drawn to those that are broken and are humbling themselves, and they're not thinking out of rationalness or thinking out of fear and reasoning. So the spirit of wisdom is waiting for us, mm-hmm. you know,
to control ourselves.
Exactly.
He's given us a commandment. He's given us a job to control ourselves. Yep. I mean, you do have to control yourself. You do have to have that. You know, you start somewhere. You know, it says that they came to John the Baptist when he was baptizing, and they said, "Baptize us." And he said, first, go forth and show fruit worthy of repentance. You know, we all want to change the way we think, but first we have to show some fruit. Start thanking God. Stop allowing this fear, worry, and anxiety to overtake you. Start having self-control over yourself a little bit. And then God will meet you. If you just practice a little bit of self-control, a little bit of fruit, God will meet you and take you by the hand and just walk you the rest of the way.
You know, absolutely right. And there's a lot of people crying out there saying, you know, I need to know what to do.
Yep.
And that's wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom.
We gave you keys.
And God wants to give you wisdom, but he can't unless you humble yourself and resist the reasoning of your own intellect, because he says that's an enmity between him and
that's right.
between that and God.
It's like Pastor always says,
yeah.
If you think you have control of yourself, if you think everything's going well, what happens if you lose your keys one day? Can't find your keys in your house. How do you act?
And you got to go somewhere.
And you're late. Or you lose your purse, you lose your wallet, you lose your phone. What happens? How do you act? Do you act under self-control, or do you manifest and freak out and go nuts? That's how you know. Watch yourself. Just start watching yourself. Watch how you act when discouragement or things don't happen the way they're supposed to happen. Watch how you act. See if you're disappointed. See if you're upset. Start watching your actions and start controlling yourself. When you see yourself acting out of peace and joy and happiness, stop and control yourself and step back and start just thanking God, thanking Him, saying, you know what, God, I know you're in control, or whatever you want to call Him. I know you're in control. You know, I know your news is going to happen. Just give me peace right now and watch what happens. I mean, you have to start somewhere.
You know, I have many people come up to me and ask me, you know, hey, you know, can you tell me what I need to do to reach my, you know, place in destiny and all that other stuff? And I tell them, I say to them, well, you know, take 2 steps back, take a year or two off,
yep.
Don't do anything, yeah. And rest.
And they all say, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Just, I got bills. Rest. I got, okay, yeah, okay.
You know, until you prove yourself and release everything.
That's right. Lay it all down.
Everybody wants to go, run.
Answers immediately.
And they're running way before time.
That's right. Right. That's absolutely right.
They need to take a couple of years off, get rest.
Just worship.
Restore. Exactly right. And develop that worship. Develop that praise.
Gratefulness.
Develop that trust to our Creator, the Supreme
Being. And learn to control yourself.
And come into that place of, really, it's like meditation.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people that try to go find the great awakening, you know, and they'll go up to the Appalachian Mountains and stuff.
Himalayas.
Yeah, and the Himalayas, and they'll find the gurus out there or whatever, and I want to go find my spiritual life. And the guru says, okay, you sit here in this room for hours.
And you sit here.
Be still, yeah. Don't touch nothing.
Yeah, and if fly come, don't hit it.
Bring yourself under some condition.
But they have a part of it that is true.
You need to
know who God is, and you need to literally come to a place of being sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right. That's where it starts.
And they're the ones that I want to talk to, because at least they'll say, all right, I tried everything, now I'll try your way. Right. When you try this way, you're going to find out that this way is the only way.
That's right.
Yep. You know?
This way works.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, it'll establish a place of peace.
That's right.
You know, after you are done striving and you come to the reality of what life really is, you just want peace. Once you establish the peace, everything else comes. It's like, and then you got too much on your plate. You want that just 10 minutes to sit down and relax and not do anything, you know? Yeah. I want to sit down. I like those hours where I spent 8 hours a day, you know, just kind of soaking in the presence.
Yeah.
And then you realize you don't have those 8 hours anymore, because He's got you running here and there now. Now you're running with Him. You're not chasing your tail around in circles over and over. So I think we're almost out of time. I'm not sure. We got a little bit more time. Is Jim up there? He is up there. Okay, great. All right. We still got a couple more minutes. So we're going to kind of end off with this. You know, let's start. Let's make a commitment in our heart to say, you know what, I want to go with the wind of the Spirit, and I want to move with God. He's doing something new in this generation or this age. And we have to renounce the old ways of traditions and put aside the creations, whether it's this God, that God, these gods, that
differences God, and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Whatever it is. Let's ask our audience tonight, how many of us out here realize, in its sense, that this generation is really kind of done with religion and they just want a relationship with God? How many would you say? I know, Rachel, you got a couple of these millennials living in your household. Are they into God, or are they into religion, or are they into nothing? They still finding themselves. They're still finding themselves.
Everybody's finding themselves.
They're still finding. Well,
they're questioning.
This message that we're giving should get them to find themselves.
Correct.
I mean, you cannot deny that there's a God. You cannot. And if they say that there is no God, I have concerns with those individuals because I mentioned on Sunday that God will begin to turn them over to the vile passions.
Just have them stand on the edge of a cliff.
Well, you know, last thing we want is anyone to be turned over to vile passions and debased minds. That is scary.
Worm food.
And it does come in a small little way. All of a sudden, they start thinking a certain way, and it comes in a little bit, and then it starts taking them over, and next thing you know, they're creating identities and all this stuff that is just going so far out there, and they never find a future.
No.
They never find a hope.
Their life never grows.
And then to top it off, you can't talk to them because they know everything.
That's right.
And that's the bad thing. The know-it-alls. You got to watch out for the know-it-alls. Yeah. Yeah, and then they say you don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
That's dangerous.
Yep.
And, you know, when I see those individuals, especially in this millennium age that is coming up, and I want to say to them, please don't go down that road. Please, you know what, just change the way you're thinking in the sense that acknowledge that we have a creator. Acknowledge that we have a God. Start there. And put your hope and trust in him. Like, kind of question him, which way do you want me to go? Honor him.
Yep.
And then all that nasty, vile thought and debased mind leaves.
Yep.
It leaves. Your mind is restored back. Now you're not a know-it-all either.
Well, I mean, you become more humble. This is the danger of religion, because religion has put periods on what they've learned, and they don't want anything new. They basically stopped wanting any type of new revelation or new knowledge. They basically said, okay, I know everything, I'm done.
Yeah, well, they say that there is none.
That's right. That's there them, but with us, the truth about us
No,
is,
I'm talking about...
I know, but about what happened with us here, we're open to everybody.
Yeah.
We want to hear everybody. We want to hear what you think, what your opinion is. We want to hear it. We're not closed. Yeah. We're not closed to anything. We want to hear your view, and if it doesn't ring true to our spirit, we'll tell you. But we want to hear everybody and every viewpoint. Why not? I mean, why be closed?
Right.
Be open for everything. You know, there could be a new move over here. We're always open for what God's doing.
True.
There's never a religion we're following here. It's always an openness.
Well, with that being said, we got the red light. And so I want to have to say goodbye to everyone and our audiences out there. And say, you know, next week we'll be here again at our round
every week until table. You stop
us. And Sundays, we have our Sunday services.
Yeah.
They can come out.
Yeah, which is great. We would love to have you, if you're in the area, come out and visit us. We're actually a very unique ministry. It's a wonderful ministry. And we would love to have you just pop in and say hello. And if not, you can log on and have church at your house.
Correct.
And you can
start a home group.
Yep, listen right into your living room or
what
have
you. And
invite
us out.
come speak to you.
Those bigger ministries, if they would like us to come out and minister in their church, which I don't, unless the pastor is really open, I don't think they're ever going to receive us with this with this revelation of knowledge.
Don't unleash them. Yeah. Don't unleash them. I'll lose my flock.
But if they're sincere about reaching this millennium generation, if they're sincere about reaching our youth, if they're sincere in reaching this harvest, it's not the end of an age harvest, it's the beginning of an age harvest. If they're sincere, you'll call us. You'll get us out there.
If you're truly sincere and wanting to know God in the worst way, you know, getting to know him the more.
How about listening to your heart?
You know?
They already say they do that.
Developing more of an intimate relationship with God. You got to listen to this.
Yep.
Because I'm telling you, there's so many different things out there right now that's causing confusion.
Sure.
And it's drawing people away from the true living God, because it's drawing them away from here. And it's pushing people to this place, to that place. You got to look at this book. No, dude, it's right here inside your heart.
We gave you tons of keys tonight. Just go back, listen to this
Eat
message.
The nuggets.
Listen to this message over and over and over and get it in you. And listen to the keys that were spoken and start applying the keys that we told you, and watch what happens in your life. I guarantee if you just try, just apply a little bit of what we told, just start right here. Your life will start changing. You'll start developing fruit, peace, love, joy, happiness. Will come into you, I promise you. This is a guarantee from us. 1,000% guarantee it will work. It worked for us, it'll work for you. We're just simple men.
True. Amen.
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 Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.
Amen.